In this episode of The Full Nerd, we talk about FSR 3.1, how consoles are dead, and a Windows 10 subscription. And welcome, everybody, to episode 295 of The Full Nerd, PC World's premier podcast about PC building. I am your fill-in host, Adam Patrick Murray. On the line, we have Gordon Maung. Hello, Gordon.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome back for a second week of coming back on the show. Glad to have you.
I'm glad to be here.
And then here with Elena Yee, also on the line. Hello, Elena.
Hello. So close to episode 300.
Yeah, don't remind me.
Less than a month and change.
Yeah, we have some plans brewing, but not enough time to do them. We will get there. Right,
I talked
next
to Nathan.
To
we can have him come sing for 300 as well.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Perfect. Here at the table with me is Will Smith. Hello, Will.
Hello.
And then over at the verticals and horizontals, we got Willis Lai.
Hello, everyone. Happy Wednesday. Oh, my God. We're doing it on a Wednesday this time.
Yeah, Wednesday afternoon. We had a schedule weirdness, so thanks, everybody, for working us with that. Before we get into the news, because we got some interesting news, I do want to give an update. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the MSI Claw, and there was some weird charging stuff that I was talking about. I did meet with them and got the actual lowdown of what's going on with charging that device. It's kind of an interesting situation. It's not as dire as I thought. I don't maybe dire is not the right word, but it's not as complicated as I thought. So the idea is if you plug in the MSI Claw at anything below 90%. Or over 90% of battery life, it won't actively charge it.
Battery?
Yeah. So it powers the device. If it's already 90% or over, it just passes through the power and doesn't actually actively charge the battery. If it's below 90%, then it'll actually charge the battery up until 100%. So, but if you disconnect at 90%, then it won't charge again. So I think that's the problem, is that we talked about before, I like to have mine plugged in for the most part. And so it was always tripping me out that most of the time I had it plugged into the wall, and I was like, I'm not getting a charging indicator. Though, weirdly, some chargers were still charging it even when it was above 90. So there's still some wonkiness there. I'm not quite sure. I like that idea of battery preservation, right? It seems a little aggressive rather than like a toggle or something to pick which you would rather have. I did ask, like, hey, are there any other MSI devices that do this? Because I'm not, like, I feel like people would be angry if, like, Apple or, you know, whatever decided to institute that on a phone.
Well, it's a choice on the phone. Like, the iPhones will have a little switch you can flip that say, hey, charge sort conservatively of. To preserve battery life, kind of.
But here's not a choice. It's on by default. It doesn't seem to be a way to turn it off. So
That seems like a bad choice to me.
I mean, I just told them devices, like, hey, put a choice in there. That's, you know, that's probably the best.
Yeah, but I mean, they're making the decision for the person to preserve battery life. There are some devices that will actually charge to 90 as max, but tell you it's 100% to make you think it's 100%.
It's all a lie. So. Yeah.
Well, and we don't want to get into battery nerdism here, but it's interesting that for the most part, we were told that with lithium ion, lithium polymer, 100% was no problem. You keep these things plugged in all the time. You know, they're intelligent. They've got all these circuits in them. But now it's really, people are like, oh, well, you really shouldn't keep it at 100% because that puts the most stress on the battery. So keeping it below that is better. So I just don't. Sometimes the battery industry is like, not straight with us, it feels like.
Here, the thing that I want on something that's a potential portable that I'm going to take with me and be able to like get take on an airplane is that I'm fine with it doing the conservative charging when I'm just hanging around the house and sitting in the living room playing Dragon's Dogma or whatever. Mm-hmm. When I get on the when I'm getting ready to go on a trip, I want to be able to hit a button that says, "Hey, charge this to 100%," so it's ready when I leave. Because if I get on the plane, I'm going to be bummed if I don't have a full charge. Right.
True. Yeah.
So
anyway, I just want to give a kind of a follow up on that, because that was definitely it was confusing me at the time of launch. So got some clarification on that. Hopefully that helps some others. But let's dive in to the first topic today, which we are talking about AMD's FSR 3.1. I believe this got announced at GDC, but last week we didn't have a normal episode.
Yeah.
So we're covering it now. We're coming a little late to it. Not a ton to dig in here, but there's some high level stuff, which is interesting. And honestly, though, I'm glad that all of these companies, you know, Intel with XeSS, AMD with FSR, and NVIDIA with DLSS, they continue to improve on it, which is nice. And it depends on what people think. Some people don't like upscaling or frame gen, any stuff like that, but it is here to stay. It is a future. Games are obviously implementing it. So I think it's nice. Specifically in FSR 3.1, there's two major things. One of them is that they have added a native AA mode. This is essentially using the temporal information to just apply an AA rather than an upscale, right? Is that the best way to describe it?
That's my understanding, yeah. It's temporal AA has always been one of those things that's a little conceptually weird to me because it's going from frame to frame and somehow they're looking a frame into the future sometimes and de-blurring blurring your edges based on that. But I think that's the fair.
Which theoretically should offer better quality, but you usually don't get that performance boost because it's not actually rendering at a lower resolution, and upscaling is just applying...
So in this case, the benefit is that you get fewer jaggies.
Yes.
But instead of having to upscale and then shrink back down, you're just using frame to frame information rather than, you know, making four times as many frames and then condensing those four pixels four times bigger frames and condensing four pixels into one.
Yeah.
On the jagged edges. So yeah, that seems good.
Not a bad feature. And then the other one is decoupling upscaling with frame generation. So in the past, if you were going to use FSR's frame generation, which is
KMFDM.
Oh God, I don't remember. Fluid motion frame.
Yeah.
Whatever. The acronym is. So in the past, if you wanted to use the fluid motion frame generation, you had to also have the upscaling.
Some amount of upscaling. On.
But FSR specifically. So now it is decoupled so that you can use the frame generation part of AMD, and then say maybe you wanted to use the DLSS upscaling of NVIDIA or something like that. So it's a little more mix and match rather than just being locked into the AMD.
And so this is coming. There's a bunch of games that support FSR 3 now, like 20 or 30 titles or something. This is going to roll out first in the Ratchet and Clank PS5 game port.
Yep. Yep.
I think later this year. No time. Yeah. On it,
and they're saying FSR 3.1 will be available in 40 games, both available now and coming soon. That's coming from AMD. We have a link to this article in the description if you want to read a little bit more.
And the nice thing is it's still hardware agnostic, right? So it still runs on NVIDIA, AMD, and Intel.
Right. Yeah.
Seems good.
Did they say why they decoupled it, though? Because it seems a little odd, because I know AMD is always the one that tries to play nice, because the market position they're in. But it does seem like if they're decoupling it and they're saying, oh, you can use this with DLSS or XeSS, Intel's, you know, frame generation, it does seem like, are you saying you don't think people want to use your solution only? You know, I'm wondering if you get the feeling that's what they're sort of saying with this.
To me, it seemed like there are situations where you might have a game that's performant enough that you don't need to use the upscaling, but you may want the frame generation to reduce micro stutters, because that's kind of the place that the frame generation helps. I don't know.
Or if you're on an Intel based device and you would actually prefer XeSS as the upscaling solution, but as of right now, Intel does not have a frame generation equivalent. So
yeah, because the XeSS uses Tensor cores or whatever their compute their ML cores are,
yeah,
whereas the FSR runs on the GPU side, right?
Well, so
you do lose a little bit of...
There is two different versions of XeSS, though. One's for Intel, specifically, right. You get the better version, and then if you're on something else. So, I mean, I like it. I don't see... I mean, I didn't talk specifically with AMD about this. This article was written by Mark. I don't know if he talked to them either specifically about why, but if I had to guess, yeah, I bet it's choice. Maybe the developer implementation, you know, I like it.
It just feels like it's always so weird to have companies be so nice, you know.
I mean, they've always been, AMD's always been, or ATI and then AMD have always been on the, hey, let's support the open standards rather than the thing. My guess is that this is also, this will also roll up into the Xbox, their upscaling implementations on the consoles at some point.
Could be, yeah.
Right. But that's why I would think you'd want to play into that. You have this console, they have the strength of consoles. Why sort of help your competitors in a way?
Well,
so,
but I mean, if you, if you think about it, what you're also competing for is developer time, right? So it's to implement each of these plugins, the DLSS, the XeSS, and the FSR plugins, you're looking at minimum of a half a day of like probably one of your more valuable engineers each, and it increases the testing surface because you have to test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pipelines. So if they can say, hey, look, here's our one solution that gives you good results and supports NVIDIA, Intel, AMD hardware across the board, and also will give you this upscaling on your console side as well, then that's an easier, like, that's, I'm looking at that, I'm thinking, oh, we give them the expensive guy for an afternoon and we're done, or maybe a day and we're done, versus, you know, a week of time plus a bunch of extra testing each time you do a release. So, like, I don't know. To me, this is them marketing this at developers, not them marketing this at consumers.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're also, you know, stating that they're improving the temporal stability and reducing ghosting, you know, which is shimmering and all that kind of stuff. So they are doing work on it. I think obviously a lot of people, there's that fight between DLSS and FSR, but I'm glad both exist and, like AMD continues to improve on it. I think next then is a lot of people are still wondering where the latency reduction, the anti-lag plus is after releasing and then unreleasing and saying they're going to release it again. It still isn't quite out yet. So,
well, that the stuff that NVIDIA has done with Reflex really makes a difference on the high end competitive stuff. I think it's less important for the single player games.
I mean, especially when you're using a frame gener though too. Like,
Or if you're playing on a gamepad, frankly, I think it's much less important.
Yeah. That's FSR 3.1. There's not a ton.
I got
to
a question.
It.
One more question.
Yeah, no, go for it.
Do you think we're over the anger? The original, because remember DLSS, NVIDIA pushed really, really hard in DLSS initially. A lot of gamers predictably were very angry, like, this is ridiculous. I want real frames. These are fake frames. Everybody called them fake frames. It seems like we're now well past that. People have accepted it. And because now people are like, you know, AMD needs to work on FSR. They need to get as good as, you know, DLSS. And it's interesting. We've shifted away from gamers saying, I don't want this, I want real frames, to now everybody needs to be as good as X or do this. So now it feels like it's just another image quality performance slider, like any of the, you know, filtering that we've come to accept as just part of games graphics. Do you think we're at that point or no?
I will say real quick, to be fair, DLSS 1 and FSR 1 both definitely had some problems.
Both bad.
So, yeah. Like,
oh, yeah. Like, I mean, but, you know.
It took some time, but it does feel like people aren't as angry about the upscaling options. And I mean, at least tangentially, I've heard on Discord, people are like, oh, yeah, you know, I usually turn on, if I have the option, I'll turn on the highest quality just so I get a, you know, that benefit kind of thing.
So I will say I'm in a Discord with a bunch of people who are game developers and ex-journalists and stuff like that. And there was a whole conversation that was like, hey, why does Dragon's Dogma look like crap? And the end result was they defaulted one of the upscalings on for everyone. And they were like, oh, it's on performance upscaling and I'm running a 1080p display and it looks real bad. So I think people are upset about it, but I think it's impacting normals now, not the people who like to hop on the outrage pony, probably.
But I do think on the other end, there are still people who really don't like frame generation. I still think we're early enough days in frame generation that people are like, eh. I mean, honestly, I'm one of them.
Yeah.
I don't actively use it. Not that I don't think it's cool technology. It just, yeah, I would prefer not to right now.
The only place I've turned it on is with Cyberpunk, when I have all the path tracing and everything turned up as high as it can go, and I want to, you know, get a playable 60 out of that.
Yeah.
But I mean,
it's a question for Adam, though, real quick, though. Do you choose not to use it because you don't like it or because you don't need to? Because you run pretty good hardware.
Well, it depends. It's both. Like, the Alan Wake So I recently finally beat Alan Wake 2. I love that game. But I was turning on all the bells and whistles and, you know, dealing with whatever frame rates were coming. And over the course of playing it, I was kind of tuning it in, and I was playing with FSR implementation in that one, which I would say is probably one of the better implementations, because they work directly with NVIDIA about it. But especially,
DLSS.
DLSS. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Frame generation. I have an NVIDIA card on my gaming machine. I didn't like the image quality of it in certain areas, especially in the forest. Like, it was, I'm a bells and whistles guy. I like image above frame rate in a lot of situations, especially in like Alan Wake. Like, I was willing to take a frame rate hit to get all the pretty visuals, and the frame generation in that just wasn't, like, it was impacting the visuals too much.
For Alan Wake, I'll take 40 hertz real over 60 or 80 hertz.
That's what I was doing too. On the other end, though, I don't know, maybe because I'm a video person, it's still like interjected, like the idea of interjecting frames that weren't actually rendered. I know, because I don't turn on motion smoothing on my TV. Why would I turn it on in the game? But I know that it's not the same thing. I know it's not the same thing, but it's still in my mind. Those two things are a little too linked. And so I know it's a me thing. I'm the problem. I'm trying to get over it, but yeah.
To me, those are like ray tracing and frame generation go hand in hand, and I don't think I would turn on frame generation in a non-ray traced game, because ray traced frames are all made up and kind of BS too. You know, like, they're doing math, but it's like they're doing math that implies other math that fills in the math, and then they upscale those generated frames. And then, so if you have this sequence of events, why not cap it off with making up a couple of imaginary frames in the middle to get it up to where you want it to be?
Yeah. Well, I will point out what Falcon Northwest said. Hey, Kelt. Falcon Northwest earlier said,
shout out, Kelt.
All frames are imaginary.
It's true.
He's not wrong.
And it's true. I mean, that's why I never quite understood the Outrage Pony writing when frame generation came out. Yeah, I understand it wasn't the greatest when it came out, and yeah, it may not be your cup of tea, but it was, it felt like the shouting was unrealistic because everything is made up. You're not, like, you're looking at reality rendered on your screen. Every single pixel is math, just putting a pixel somewhere, right? So why
is some math better than other math?
Is some math better than the other math? It just seems silly, right? I just don't. If you don't like it, don't run it. You know, to me, it seemed like the easy choice.
Now, if they didn't give us the option of turning it off, I'd be righteously outraged.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the great thing, right? Yeah. You don't need to use it. If why get angry about something that you don't need to use?
Yes, give us the freedom of PC, the freedom and chaos of game configurations.
Speaking of the freedom of the PC, I am here.
Nice segue.
I know. Thank you. Gordon. You just teed me up. You just what is it, like, I don't know. I'm not a volleyball person. You hold your hands like that, right?
Yeah. That's it. Nailed it.
Spike it.
Teed up and spike.
Yeah. Where were we talking about? Oh yeah. You know, I'm ready to sit here
and turn on motion smoothing on all your TVs?
No, definitely not. And proclaim something that Elena pointed out yesterday when we were talking about this.
Oh, no.
We've actually had this some form of this name in our title many times over the course
consoles
of
rip?
Yeah, the consoles are dead, whatever. But I think now more than ever, I am okay to sit here and look straight into the camera, dead in the eyes of the public, and say, consoles are dead.
This is not the official policy of everyone's
table. Not of everyone, but of me.
Direct your angry letters to, what's your Twitter again, Adam?
Adam P. Murray. I don't really check it that much, so go for it. This got sparked. There was an interview over Polygon, who conducted the interview, Chris the founder of Polygon, had a chat with Phil Spencer. Phil Spencer is the head of Xbox, or no, he's the head of gaming at Microsoft, right?
Yeah,
isn't he even higher than that? I can't remember. Anyway,
he's the new Jay Allard.
A pretty straightforward guy. I feel like you know, you can trust what he says, and he is an actual gamer in the weeds of things. So, and he was talking about the console market, right? Obviously, there's a lot of talk about the Xbox, where it's going in the future. It's in third place. Is it dying? Are they going to get rid of console game or making consoles and just become a publisher? Whatever. A lot of that we didn't bring up here because it's not really our thing. But in this interview specifically, they were talking about. Phil was saying, hey, wouldn't it be awesome if the console had the ability to buy games from different storefronts?
I think that that's the kind of thing I would say if I was selling a console that was solidly in third place.
But also, you know, he's saying something good for the consumer, though. Right?
Yeah, that's exactly what you do when you're losing.
Right? Right? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so, like, but that's not a bad thing. I would say they're in a spot where they need to do some good things and shake stuff up. And this, if it's good for them and it's also good for the consumer, that's awesome. But I was looking at it, I was like, wait. Okay. Up to this point, we already have off-the-shelf PC hardware in these. Mm-hmm. I know it's configured and, you know, like a custom solution, whatever. But, I mean, we're still talking about, you know, essentially PC components in these devices, right? Now more than ever, especially on the Sony side, all these games are getting ported to PC, right? So, like, exclusives on consoles is, like, barely a thing to talk about it. If then we're talking about opening it up to having any sort of... storefront you want on a console, at what point do we just say that's just a PC and guess what, consoles are dead,
PXbox? So here's the thing. Okay, let's
like what's you can plug in a mouse and keyboard into a console now. Like, where is that point to say, hey, you know what, that thing under my box is just a mini, a small form factor PC, or a, you know, like
operating system.
A what?
Operating system.
Yeah, is that? Well, no.
It's a baby version of Windows.
On my Steam Deck, I've got Linux, so it's not, you know.
No,
like,
what I mean is, like, how, like, not just the operating system, but how it's configured. How open or closed is it?
I mean, this seems pretty damn open if you can use a storefront from anywhere.
What I'm just saying, no, that's not true, because they could plug it in a specific way that it allows access, just like how they had connections to the Ubisoft Club stuff. You know what I mean? So I'm guessing they work with the publisher to have some kind of API where they can plug into the system. Doesn't necessarily mean they're opening up the operating system and allowing people to just do whatever they want with it, which I think is a key factor of being on PC.
Well, guess That's what? True. We've already been there. The PS3 allowed you to install Linux on it.
For about 15 minutes, and then there was a problem,
separate,
and then they had to pay everybody.
But that's separate. That's like, that's different.
Yeah. So,
wait. So you're saying the only dividing line, like really everything, everyone's just getting hung up, like, the, you know, on the idea of, oh, this is a console or it's a PC. That's the line, is the operating system it's running?
So, no.
I would say it's the only line, but I think that is the defining, one of the defining features of it. Like, you cross that line, then that's when you can really say it's become a PC.
The thing that makes it a console is that the person who makes the company that makes the hardware says what you can and can't run on it. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's it's a function of operating system.
Yeah.
But what Phil is saying is, hey, if Epic wants to give us a cut of every sale, then we're happy to put their software on our platform.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what I would say if I had a flagging console with no exclusives coming. Like, Sony is over here with, like, hey, we've got a bunch of games people want to play. We're going to put them on other platforms where we can make extra money we've already squeezed all the money out of our platform.
Even they are having
holders.
Some trouble. You know, yes,
they're flat.
PlayStation won this round. Well, that doesn't mean the console. I mean, like, he also says in here, hey, the console market is stagnant. PC is growing.
Let me, what year are we in this console cycle at this point? We're 4 years into a 7 year cycle. This happens every single time. The consoles come out, there's a big rush, people buy them when they're expensive, and then they're like, oh man, we got to do a price drop, so people keep buying them. They haven't done a price drop yet. This happens.
I mean, it sounds like they can.
This happened with the Xbox One, it happened with the Xbox 360, it happens every single time. And we're always, as an industry, the games industry is like, oh my god, we're in the middle of the console cycle and people aren't buying as many games or consoles, and then we lay a bunch of people off and everything goes to bad places for a little bit, and then new consoles come out and there's a huge spike, and it has happened. I mean, Gordon and I have had this conversation at least three other times over the last two decades.
I know, but usually when Gordon talks about it, he talks about how, oh, the console is here to kill the PC. And I would say, if you step back and look at it, now more than ever, a console is just a damn PC. And PCs have won.
Wait.
We're missing, you know, the operating system part of it, but
that's a huge component. There's a huge component of it, Adam. You can't.
I don't believe that.
I'm just going to ignore this whole section.
All right. Well, how much?
Here's the litmus.
Would you say what? 10%.
Here's the litmus test.
20%.
Here's the litmus test that Gordon has always used, and Gordon is right here, so he can either back me up or just keep nodding. But can you do taxes? Can you do taxes on that console?
Yeah,
I bet you can get TurboTax for it. Like,
because it's Edge.
There's a window browser.
We've
argued that, yes. But can you do it as in a full-fledged manner yet?
More slowly, but you can still do it.
What if we just didn't do taxes? That's my question.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
All right, Gordon. Well, here, I will kick it to Gordon. Gordon, you've always said the console has been trying to kill the PC. Do you agree with me? The other way is what's happened.
You mean that the PC has gotten its revenge and crushed consoles?
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree. I was just looking at numbers the other day, and mobile's huge. Number two is PC gaming. Consoles are somewhere, you know, third place. It's not looking great for consoles. I would say the openness of the PC is what has always been awesome about it, and the customization. It's a battle that I don't think I've ever thought we would lose as long as everybody kept fighting. That means AMD, NVIDIA, Intel, and everybody continuing to put out new hardware to make it better and faster and prettier, and all the vendors making better computers that, you know. But it is confusing to me how Xbox it feels like Xbox has lost more than it's ever won. And I don't understand it, and
That's a whole different discussion too, but yeah, like.
Oh. Well, but honestly, when you said it the other day that you thought consoles were dead, I didn't agree, because for one thing, I can tell you probably in about 5,000 years, Nintendo will still be around selling consoles that you can only run their games on. So I guess in some ways it will always exist. It's just surprising to me that it's always felt like Xbox has lost to PlayStation. And I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it's just my memory of it, because I don't follow consoles that closely. And they have tried to kill us. Let's be honest. The reason why I've always been so agnostic against consoles is because they wanted to kill PC gaming because they wanted to push consoles, because there was a lot of money in it.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah, agnostic is not the word I would use.
Wait, hold on.
I mean, not agnostic.
Not even just the language change, but like, there's a difference between a product existing and then a set of makers of that product actively trying to eliminate any potential competition. Well, like, I feel like you're conflating the two. I do not feel like consoles have ever come that hard for the PC. Not from the makers themselves, from the fanboy war, but not from the makers. No.
Microsoft is well established for having each division at war internally with every other division. Like, that is that is a long-standing thing. I don't think Sony cares about the PC. I think Sony is actually
they do now.
Ambivalent to enthusiasm about the PC, because it gives them an opportunity to sell $200 million develop cost games to a whole new market. But yeah, I think Microsoft absolutely, there were people at Microsoft who, when they launched the original Xbox and especially the 360, were coming at the PC hard. Now, there were also people at Xbox.
That was 20 years ago, guys.
I mean, we're very old.
Oh, I know. I mean, remember that time 20 years ago when you stabbed me right in the chest?
But I mean,
I've totally forgotten about that. Look, It's cool now. I'm not going to forget that I have a hole in my chest, right? It's just like,
the same time, without those same people, there were also people in the Windows division fighting with the Xbox people that were like, hey, we should make a standard for the gamepad and maybe keep doing DirectX. And like, so out of that war came something good, right? Like, without the gamepad support, think about how nice universal gamepad support is. And that all came out of 360 generation Microsoft, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely, I won't say that there weren't good things that came out of the division that benefited the PC, but they clearly wanted to PC gaming to go away in favor of increasing revenue for Xbox in the beginning. So that was an original business model of Xbox, right? That's just not.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, it was the direct Xbox, right? That's what the X is from. It was built on PC technology. So there are a lot of hard feelings from 20 years ago that are still there. So it's not made up, Eleni. It's not made up. It was a real thing. So
and I would also say, traditionally in the past, a console, it would be a leapfrog thing, right? A new console would come out and be better than the PCs of the day because of whatever reason. And then, you know, PCs would catch up. I would say now more than ever, that's not really a case anymore.
Look, my $4,000 PC really romps my $500 PS5.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, yeah. But
well, here's the other thing, though. I really thought, you know, because remember, like many years ago, you know, they agreed, hey, you know, Microsoft was, they were friendly toward, they realized what, you know, PC, how great PC gaming was. And they really sort of made peace between divisions publicly and everything. And I thought that was going to change things for the better and actually make it harder on PlayStation. But it's interesting. It's come around. It feels like it's actually gone the other way, that it's benefited PlayStation because they haven't made Xbox as, they haven't worked on Xbox as competitively as they could have, it feels like.
I mean, I think, once again, Microsoft definitely dropped the ball in a lot of ways for the Xbox that the PlayStation didn't necessarily need to
I mean,
stomp them too hard. I think, but we can all agree, I can even agree, hey, you know, for the most part, consoles are dead, except for Nintendo.
I don't agree with that at all. Except for the Nintendo part.
Quit trying to speak for all of us,
Let me put it another way. You said the defining factor of a console is a closed ecosystem, right?
I did say that.
You said that, or did Elena say
I said the manufacturer determines what goes on.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, well, that's basically what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm clarifying here. Okay. I'm just saying that. I am saying pretty much what Will is saying. I'm focusing on the technical aspects of it. But Will has got the, I would say, the more proper general summary of it.
And what I'm saying is that, apart from Nintendo, because, yes, Nintendo is going to exist in 100 years and still be as closed and controlling as ever, which, for better or worse, okay, just like Apple, right? But when you're talking about PlayStation and Xbox, over time, have they gotten more open or less open?
More open.
More of an open ecosystem
more
closed of an ecosystem,
much
right?
More open.
So that's what I would say. They're moving towards PC now more than ever. That on that spectrum,
but that doesn't mean consoles are dead. That means the definition of
consoles changes to be a PC.
No,
well, I mean, that's operating in really, really black and white terms, dude.
I just don't understand like why people still think it's a console when almost everything about it is just a PC except for the operating system.
It is not, though. It's really not, because you don't have to do the same level of maintenance or support or anything like you do with a PC.
You still have to patch your games.
No, it's like you say, but it's like it's no different. It is no different than you saying, like in the pre-show, like when we were talking about tablets and PCs, it is no different than you making a similar statement of saying that tablets are just PCs. They're not.
Also, you can upgrade your console just as much as you can upgrade an Apple laptop, right?
I mean, show me
or Windows laptop.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Why is it just a console?
Adam woke up this morning and chose violence. That's all I'm saying.
Boxing.
Why is everyone so tied to, oh no, it needs to be a console. This is not a PC.
You're the one who's tied to that.
No. It feels people are holding on to the definition of a console so dearly. And I'm saying, hey, guess what? That's pretty much a PC.
Look,
if you don't
slam a cartridge in the top, it's not a console.
I mean, but there's also people angry, like, man, my console games now have graphical settings. Why should I go in there? I don't want it to have graphical settings. I just want it to play. And it's like, well, because it's just a PC, dude.
Adam, it's like for you that you've already made that distinction for yourself, and that's fine. But it doesn't mean that everyone else can't have a different opinion in a larger majority than what you've got right now.
It just doesn't make sense to me. How could somebody look at that and be like, oh, this is way different. This is not a PC.
We're explaining it to you. It's the difference between us explaining it to you and you being, I see, and us explaining it to you and saying,
you're explaining it to me, but you're talking about the difference, the inherent difference is one part of it. if you're saying, hey, it's off the shelf parts, it's got an open ecosystem, potentially can, you know, have load up different launchers, all these things that make it just like a PC. But it, yeah, it's got one component that doesn't make it like a full open operating system. I get that. But like but I feel like the rest of it.
Fundamentally changes the experience of it. Like, not to get weird about this, but like, we're both human, but you're constructed in a different way than I am, right? Like, you can't say that you have exactly the same experience that I do in life of those, right?
Okay, but here's the other thing. I also wonder, say Microsoft feels they're in this position, right? And I do feel like this is a win-win situation for them, because they're getting attacked from all sides. PlayStation, they're getting attacked on handhelds, you know, with the Windows stuff, like everybody. I mean, we're going to talk about a Windows problem in the next segment. So they're getting attacked from all sides. So they need some goodwill. And, you know, I don't think Phil is just going out on a limb and saying these things, right? Like, he seems like a stand up dude that's like, this is something they're exploring. They wouldn't just be saying
this
that if
felt
they
like
exploring.
A float to me. This felt like, hey, you know what would be cool that would get some good press that I can say without having anybody on board with? Because, like, why is Epic going to give them a cut when they don't have to?
But it's not like
they have a huge market of people that buy games. They have a huge market of people that sign up for Game Pass.
So what if, say, they keep going down this road and whatever the next Xbox is, here's another way to say it. A lot of people are saying, hey, Microsoft needs to make a handheld friendly OS, whether it's either a stripped down version of what Windows is now, or maybe some sort of like front end that you would load into. What if that same exact thing, say it was like the Steam Deck, right? The Steam Deck, like, I think what people love about the Steam Deck is that, like, it has a console like experience on the front end, but if you want to, you can go into Linux and go into a deeper experience.
Nobody wants that. I mean, people want the Steam Deck. They don't want to go into the Linux experience. That's only weirdos like me.
Yeah, yeah. No, but so I'm saying, what if Microsoft does make that?
Yeah.
You know, they see, hey, Windows handhelds are such a big thing. Okay, we should address this market. We're going to make some sort of front end, just like Steam Deck, that, hey, if you want to go into Windows a little bit deeper, you can do that. And what if they just release that on the set-top box on a console as well? Hey, you've got this front end. That is just an easy to use experience. But if you want to go into the deeper Windows is at that point a PC?
I don't think it matters. I don't care.
Are we arguing what is or what could be? Like, this argument feels like it's all over the place.
Yeah, like,
I want to go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead, Gordon.
I was just going to say that I think this is just kabuki theater. I think, frankly, that if you wanted to ask me, I don't think consoles are dead. And, you know, I've never been friends of the console because, you know, again, they've been trying to stab us repeatedly for decades.
They
and they have, because that's the way it is with competitors.
I remember when the Xbox One almost killed Gordon. It fell off the shelf in the lab.
I honestly think that Microsoft has looked at the future. And they have looked at where it's going with government interventions, and the government clearly does not like closed markets. They do not like monopolistic controls over ecosystems. Mm-hmm. So Microsoft, being in third place, and frankly, is making so much money off of Azure, off of AI, and so many things, that client business, which is Windows, Xbox, it's becoming the amount of money they made when they used to make Microsoft mice. And why not push an open world? Because look, the Xbox will be open, and we want to make it open because we believe in openness. And that always gets regulators, because Microsoft, as you know, has had a lot of fun with the United States government in the past. This is their way of saying, we're going to be open. Look, we're allowing Epic, we're allowing Steam, we're allowing all these third-party game fronts into Xbox. And that keeps the regulators away, and it also puts pressure on competitors to be open. And they would rather have the EU and the United States DOJ and FTC all digging into Apple's and Google's business, not digging into their business, even though clearly Microsoft's strength is in data center, right?
They love lock-in, yeah.
It looks wonderful to look like, oh, we're so open. But you know they sure as hell don't want to be that way with everything, because that's not the way it is with business. But you do it on things that you don't care about, which is basically Windows and Xbox at this point. They can be as open as they want. So I think this is just part of a long-term strategic play.
So you're saying they're willing to cede the Xbox in order to take out the ultimate closed ecosystem, which was Amazon's AWS and Google's G Cloud, so that they can, so that, because like, it's a good point. Like, all those cloud apps are not portable at all unless you explicitly design them to be. And then if you design them to be that way, they're really a lot more expensive to run. Whereas if you build directly into Apple's and or Amazon's and Google's and Microsoft's ecosystems for that stuff, I think I agree with Gordon on this.
See, right, because they don't care. It's just like pennies. At this point, Xbox is...
Well, Game Pass makes money, right?
Nothing. Does it? I don't know if it does, because I... Even if... But the amount of money they make off of Game Pass versus... Azure?
Yeah, no.
Oh, or
yeah. Azure.
Oh,
I'm sure. Azure. Oh, sure. As well as, I mean, there's just so many.
Microsoft 365. Yeah.
There's so much. Sure. They're making so much money off of, you know, data center cloud that it doesn't even matter. And they just are, they're using this as a way to trick the government to stay away from them, right? Please, please go and get all into Apple's, I can't say the S word. All day. Look how terrible they are. Stuff. We just open up Xbox.
Yeah, stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
That's my prediction, because that doesn't mean they're going to give up. They still like the money. They've invested two decades into building up the Xbox, but I just don't feel like, you know, it's not a big deal. It's like they care about as much about Xbox as, let's be honest, they care about Windows client for consumers, right?
Like if you want to argue
less, honestly.
Yeah. If you want to argue that consoles are dying because like the kids are all interested in PCs and handhelds, which is, I think, there were some reports to that specifically,
kids love PCs.
Kids love PCs. Yeah. Yeah. Coming out during GDC. Like, I think you can make that argument. If you make the argument that we're going to be in a world where there's no console exclusives because neither Microsoft nor Sony are making games that are exclusive to their hardware, I think that's a fair argument too. I mean, Nintendo's going to keep doing what Nintendo does indefinitely, yeah. but that's fine.
Well, and the point I'm saying here, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because if we look at where we've come so far, we've gone further and further towards a PC, right? And I don't think it's going to stop, you know, because of regulation, because of just the way the market is changing. I would also say discs, you know, like reliance on discs. Everybody wants to go digital, which is, again, like the PC. But like, I think we're going to continue to go that way. The wind is not blowing the other way. The wind is blowing this way. So yes, I'm extrapolating, but at some point people need to say, you know, like, accept, like, wait, at what point is just
like, everything's a PC. Right? My watch, my car, so, my microwave.
Like, it's not going to happen though, Adam, for because the thing is that you're drawing, you're projecting into the future. I see where you're going with it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think a lot of it has to do with just the nature of the environment, not necessarily because they're just throwing in the towel. And so with that in mind, there's always going to be a line that they're not going to cross. And it's going to be something like what Will just said, where it's actual market demand that kills it, not because they've just become something else entirely and folded all those squares have become rectangles.
Okay. So maybe I need to explain this, because I'm not saying there will never be boxes under TVs. I'm not saying consoles are dead. That I'm saying, like, the definition of a console, like, there's still going to be stuff under a TV, but at some point we just call it PCs.
Like, no, I don't, no, yeah. But because, no, the thing is, the thing is, even if Microsoft opens up the Xbox to the Epic Store and Itch and all the other stores that fill, like, throughout casually in a very constructed and intentional way, they're still gonna regulate what software runs under those stores and what's sold from those stores. It's not like I'm gonna be able to upload my game to Itch and it's just gonna magically be on the Xbox. They tried that. They did it for the entire Xbox One generation. People loved it. And there were a bunch of games that were
game release
super
regulation.
Duper explicit.
Wait, are you saying the regulation on these stores? Have you been on the storefronts?
Yeah, I have been on the storefronts.
It's pretty crazy.
They still have to go through and be signed. Like, having looked down the long end of a Microsoft certification process before, it is a non-trivial amount of work, yeah. And they're not going to throw that away, because that is the key differentiating thing. Hey, the game.
Oh, so you're saying that's another cross definition of PC
thing,
console.
Right? It's, they're gating what it can run on the platform. That's always what it is. It's always a walled garden. It's just like phones, or I mean, except for your Android phone, which is, you can run whatever wild, or if you're in the EU, I guess, you can run whatever Wild West stuff you want on your phone.
I mean,
but you got to break it.
Yeah.
Also, I would say it's less of an Apple kind of walled garden, because, like, you're talking about, like, allowing maybe like 2% of games that you shouldn't allow on there, but it's essentially allowing 98% of games, you know. So
very little difference from my perspective between Apple and Xbox at this point.
Yeah,
I'm going to return to old form, Gordon, and I will say I do agree that PC has won, right? Yeah. And it is actually a surprise, but I when I look back at this, because, you know, you and I have been watching this space for a long, long, long time. I didn't think we were going to get to the point where PCs were so popular. I know I've said this before, and there are people on the show that would not agree with me, but if you're cool, you play games on a PC. I just don't think there are some things that consoles are great at. You know, sitting in front of the big ass TV is the one thing that we have never cracked for the PC. But
my Blu-ray player.
But most gaming that kids want is to sit in front of their wraparound OLED panel with the desktop PC that has 5 million, you know, RGB fans and lights in it, with the mic that glows, and they look like their favorite streamer, because that's every single streamer sits in front of, you know, a gaming PC with the RGB and the lights and back, and that's what they kind of want to emulate. I do think, surprisingly, the PC has won, and largely that is due to the streaming crowd. The younger kids, they want to be like their streamers, and the streamers, for the most part, they play on like PC, right?
Shout out to Twitch. Yeah.
Well, Twitch really...
Hold on, though.
He's like, not wrong.
I'm just saying, I feel like there's a couple of like different threads here that are getting intertwined.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't disagree that the PC is dominant. However, a lot of those numbers include hardware that is not a wraparound OLED panel, that is not even a mid-tier chip. We are talking, a lot of people in the world are gaming on PCs where they are a couple of generations behind what we talk about on this show.
That's
so
true. And I'm why just, aren't they playing on consoles, Elena?
Let me finish. So given that, I don't think you can extrapolate saying that it's because the kids are all wanting to emulate their favorite streamer. So I would be interested in seeing the numbers that show it broken down by region, because I think what's popular in the United States and what's driving it here, or even other countries that have more, disposable income, is going to be different than the other regions of the world where it is still PC dominant, but it's not necessarily that they're having, you know, 15 different RGB fans running in their system.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, because there are different markets developing, you know, nations where they don't have disposable income. But I will say it's still, that doesn't stop those kids from dreaming about having the big ass OLED panel. There's like a Samsung G9 that's like $1,100. Somebody loan me $1,100. I won't pay it back, but I want to buy that OLED panel.
Yes, but I saw one of those this weekend. It's majestic. It's like looking at the sun, right?
Oh, my God. It's $1,100. It's like...
I've had cars that were less
expensive. Somebody would come in and hit me with a brick. I think they want... Those kids, they still want that thing. Yeah, sure, they can't afford a 4090 with a i9 Ryzen 9 on it, but they still want to have it, right? So I don't think that really changes it much. Because they are, and this is the problem with consoles for a long time, is they don't, you could not buy an Xbox, you could not buy a PlayStation in those markets. The PC, because of the openness of it, has had a much, much larger market. Somebody playing integrated graphics on an Ivory Bridge box somewhere is still playing PC games, and they probably aren't playing on an Xbox or PS5 because they couldn't get those either. And those markets, they just simply weren't available. So the openness of the PC really succeeded there.
Not denying that part.
That openness, like the fact, if you had told me when we were sitting down the looking down the barrel of the Xbox 360 in 2008, and like it was clear that they were going to just demolish that generation by bringing a bunch of formerly PC exclusive features to consoles, that in 10, 15, 20 years there would be a $400 handheld device that you could play full PC games on, I would have told you you're out of your mind. And here we are. It's because of that open ecosystem that we're in this position. And anywhere from like your 10-year-old, like the number of people that are still playing games on 1070s and 3 gigabyte 1060s, 2060s and stuff like that is increased. Like, you can look at the Steam survey and see.
We have somebody in our Discord who's holding on tightly to his 970. loves that 970.
Look, so. 3.5 gigs.
Yeah. 1080, best video card of all time, right? We all know.
Yeah.
We know how that rolls.
Hall of Fame. Well, the people have spoken.
I do. The people have spoken. Before we get to poll, I want to ask you guys all this, and this ties into a couple of super chats that came in.
Ooh.
So we got $10 from Mike Quinn, friend of the show. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you, Mike.
Asks, console to PC. What's a PC, including a Mac? Can I do homework or budget on a console? So if you can do homework and budgeting on a console, each of you guys answer. Is it a PC or a console? Just give me one answer.
Yeah, if you're going to do your budgeting? Homework on your controller on your console,
yeah,
please do. Please do.
Is it a PC or a console? Yeah.
You can plug in a mouse and keyboard.
Yeah.
If you can do those. Of course. It's like, you know what I do is like my wife is watching Three Body Whatever Problem. And I'm like, hey, by the way, I need to jump on the console right now and do our taxes. So let me just... You could stop watching this Netflix on the big TV while I sit here with a mouse and keyboard and do the taxes on the TV.
I mean, you should be doing it together as a family.
No one's going to do that.
Well, no.
And the Mac is not a PC. It's just simply, let's get that straight. Because of the Mac, PC. No.
I think it's all semantics, not, right?
No, because like every single Mac a-hole, and I'm only talking about the a-holes here.
Can I peep
like,
that?
You cannot say Mac is a PC, and then two sentences later say Mac is better than PC. If it's a PC, how could it be better than the PC?
I mean, that is a good point. You're our Mac person. So
you either
put that X on
me. Mac.
What do you have on the
table?
It's
an iPad.
Right,
that's not a Mac.
What do you have on your watch? I'm just saying.
Look,
right? Then don't say it's a PC.
Look,
say it's a PC if you're going to say it's better.
Look,
it makes zero sense.
I'm here representing inclusivity. I believe that the personal computer is a big tent that everyone can be under. Macs, Androids,
consoles.
Windows, Steam Deck. Cars, watches, fridges, microwave ovens.
Okay,
it's all a personal computer now.
You're making my argument for me.
Well, let's make sure we get that correctly. Because if you're saying lowercase, it's a personal computer.
IBM hasn't made a personal computer in 15 years. They sold that whole business to Lenovo.
But
they just make ideas now.
Personally, yeah, it's a computer. Yes, it's a computer.
Is it personal?
Is it a personal computer? Yes.
Yeah.
Does that make it a PC? Which, by the way, why don't you try to go back in time and sell your compact PC next to your IBM PC and call that in the store and have IBM not come and drop a load of lawyers right on your head, right?
Did you watch Halton Catch Fire just recently, or is this a long-running rage?
No, he holds on to things.
Okay.
You know, fair. We all know what PC means. Uppercase PC, lowercase PC. Personal computer is not the same as uppercase PC.
Look,
right?
if it's not a timeshared Vax, it's personal. That's as far as I'm. If you have two terminals hooked up to it, it's not personal.
Look what you did, Mike.
Yeah, this is your fault. Yeah.
Okay, so another super chat from the show, VC Gesture.
Yes.
Thank you so much. $5 super chat.
Thank you.
I can still load my copy of Half-Life 2 on my PC. I can't do that on a PS5. Now, if you can load Half-Life 2 on a PC,
to that point, though. Mm-hmm. Over the past couple generations, even Nintendo is finally accepting, oh, hey, you know, we should have backwards compatibility. So
for a price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, we've gotten more. Yeah. Nintendo is actually talking about, oh, hey, backwards compatibility is a thing. Wow. Great.
Even there,
starting to get a little bit, you know.
Wow. So that's not a good sign.
Well, okay.
No, it's a good sign.
So yeah.
Backwards
no,
compatibility
that, I mean,
is awesome.
No, as a uppercase
like PC
person, I do think that's a good thing. But I also kind of wonder if that makes a larger statement about gaming, right? Because they are used to having very heavy-handed approaches to it. Like, by the way, buy new stuff again. Buy the same thing you bought again over and over and over again.
And
because we do not want to sell you...
Nintendo.
We don't want to sell you the same damn... video, you know, DVD that we bought that's going to, you know, I'm just surprised that they would do that. That's kind of a
shock.
I'm
not surprised at all.
Yeah,
have you seen how much nostalgia sells stuff?
Yeah, but like, you know what's But they're in business to sell you nostalgia for an extra $15. I don't think they want to sell you, which they will.
They don't sell you just the nostalgia. They sell you the nostalgia, the game, and the controller you need, because using a modern controller to play those games is terrible.
Really?
What, the N64 controllers? Yes. It's a one of a kind. Yeah.
Actually, the N64 controller with the USB-C port for the Switch is actually pretty good.
It's real high latency though. You gotta check those Mister ratings. Oh. Gordon, I think to answer your question, it's impossible to say at this point. I actually it's the listener's question. I don't think you can play Half-Life 1 on the PC anymore, because I bet that the installer for Half-Life 1 on the CD doesn't work anymore.
Two
is on Steam. It doesn't matter.
Wait, no, one. They just had that patch to Half-Life 1 on Steam.
I understand
Steam Deck,
that, but I'm talking about my copy of Half-Life 1 that I bought in 1997, and I put in my optical drive, which I don't have in my computer anymore. But also, the installer is a 32-bit app that is probably not backwards forwards compatible now.
I think to VC Jesh's point is that he has a copy of Half-Life 2 on PC. He can't load it on a PS5 now.
He probably can't load it on a PC
So PS5 as a console's not a PC, right? Because you can't play that on the disc that you bought it on for a PC.
I bought a copy of Spelunky on the Xbox 360 15 years ago, and it plays on my Xbox Series S now.
I'd say more now than ever, it's moving away. I mean, the disc part of it does make it more sticky, for sure. Mm-hmm. But I mean, obviously, all the vendors want the physical media part of it to get away. So,
I mean, the thing is that we can argue about the whole disc thing and backwards compatibility, but there's also a thing that happens that can affect PC too, and that's delisting. Yeah. So that's a thing with digital.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, preservation. Once again, I need to get Frank on. For sure, because I think on the PC that's even more sticky in some ways.
There are large periods of time in the PC. I've been trying to play Heretic 2, which is it's the game that came out the week after Half-Life 1 did in 1997 or 98, and it's basically once you get it opened and unpacked and installed, it's easy to play. But getting it unpacked and installed is really challenging because the installer doesn't work and it's all encrypted and it's like DirectX 1 through 3 games really hard to get to play on modern PCs, and that's all like 1996 through 1999, early 2000.
Yeah.
Although I wouldn't just simply emulate it at this point because you have such excess amount of power,
Well, so you can emulate DOS stuff pretty easily, but early Windows games are still pretty hard to emulate. So it's like you have to run an XP VM, and that's a little more technical. I think most people are willing to go through.
Yeah, but it also probably tells you, you really don't want to. There's no company that really needs to burn energy to support the five weirdos who want to play that game, So
I mean, maybe.
No, you're throwing.
Hey, I'm right here, man.
We're all throwing Will under the bus. Poor Will.
The other thing, though, is that a lot of those games are tied up in licensing hell. Like I joked that when Microsoft bought Activision, it was so that they could get Heretic 2 back, right? Because Activision, Microsoft, Activision, Bethesda, and somebody else all had potential rights to it. Now they're all under the Microsoft umbrella, whatever.
Yeah, and there's always, even in hardware and drivers, there's always some lawyer buried somewhere, like a landmine. You think no problem, we'll just open source this driver, give the driver. Well, you know what, there's actually IP for that, say, this long-defunct company had paid for or something, and then the lawyer, pops up out of the ground and sues you.
Was it Doom that Carmack open sourced and he had to pull this whole sound system out because they bought it from somebody else?
Probably. Don't think about why would you care? But, until the IP expires, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah. Well, you got more?
Two quick comments before we, we probably need to move on from this topic. But, quick shout out here is CBH for God. Yeah, my son keeps asking me for a PC now, despite having an Xbox. So to your guys' point, thanks to probably Twitch and the content creators out there. Yeah, probably a bit of an influence, right? And let's see. Oh, Falcon Northwest. Since when did Can It Play Crisis get replaced with Can I Do My Taxes On It? And you guys are getting old.
Look, it's April 3rd, right?
It's time. True, yeah. Here in America, tax time is upon us, but yeah. Can It Run Crisis?
Yeah, it is sad, isn't it? I think the saddest thing about Can It Play Crisis, as people who actually lived through that era, is it went from aspirational, like, oh, I've got to have like three 8800 GTXs to play Crysis at 50 frames a second, to it turned into just kind of like this meme. And it just doesn't, it doesn't have this, it at one point it used to be like, wow, this is cool that this game is so hard I can't play it. I have to build a completely new computer 2 years down the road to play it. But
it's almost like ray tracing.
Well, yeah, I mean, now Crysis is turned into, in a way, like, it feels like a joke. Because, you know, I bet even the original developer of Crysis probably thought, like, oh, you know, it was cool to get on everybody's radar, but we couldn't sell a lot of games because you couldn't play it on any of the hardware. So, and now, you know, when people complain about hardware, you know, having to have a 4090, of course, because of the pricing, is not anything anybody likes. But there was a time where people would be like, oh, it's actually cool to have a 4090. I wish I had a game where I needed three 4090s. So it's just interesting that the market has expanded so much that it isn't all out just, you know, motorheads chasing more hardware, to now people just simply wanting to play a game like a console. You just want to have like a 4060 load a game and be able to play 4K at 100 frames a second, right? No, I really mean that, Eleni, because I think a lot of console players, PC gaming is so large now that you have people that are very much, they just want to play the games. They don't want to sit here and download drivers and tweak settings and, like, what's like, FSR 3.1? You know, they just want to play the stupid game and not have to worry about all this stuff. So
you're saying that people who might come over from console may not actually change their stripes as much as everyone thinks they do just because they change their hardware?
Well, their stripes are going to be red, green, and blue, sometimes pink and purple, and then sometimes all the colors mixed up and rotating at 60 hertz in the background, because that is really what I think drives it. So
RGB. I'm just saying that sometimes you just need a car, and maybe you buy the fancier model because everyone else is, but it doesn't mean you're a car or gearhead.
Well, but I would argue that, you know, so like, what would, so like, if we were to say consoles were like, it would be like a bicycle with a basket in front for ET, and you're riding around that when you're in the fifth grade. And then later on, you want to, like, I actually would like to have
a car.
I would like to have a Camaro with, you know, that gets 12 miles to the gallon and can't really idle because
and you don't know how to service it.
Yeah, it just, you know, well, not even that, but it's those. True. It's called a lumpy cam, right? You just go.
All right, we're back to car analogies.
Car noises.
No, I think motorheads, but I do think that once they've kind of moved over to, you know, what the PC is, it's a different world. And I think, you know, we've had this, we go back and forth for many times. I just don't think, that's how I think why the PC is superior, is because that's what all the kids eventually want to grow into. Because
at the moment, sure. I'm taking it out from that argument, though. I will say that it's slightly unfair to characterize a console as only a basket, bicycle with a basket, just because there are periods where consoles' price performance ratio exceeds that of PC in the same space.
I would argue,
and there's I mean, the chat was even talking about earlier where it's like at the beginning of a console launch, or in the beginning years of a console launch, like the first maybe one or two, you just can't beat what you get from those consoles typically.
I know.
And then for people who are in those price ranges and want the I just want to play games, it's a really great solution. So I mean, I guess the analogy would be roughly is that sometimes you realize you don't need to drive to the store all the time, and you want to shed a few pounds, and you just get on your bike. But then the weather comes in, and you're like, "Oh crap, it's winter again. I don't want to have to take the bike out." I get it. I'm just saying, a little unfair.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is I don't think typically with every new console, there is a period where it's not really price to performance ratio. There's oftentimes where in the past actual performance is just simply better on the console initially, right? There were times when there were new consoles like, oh, actually this is better than what you had on PC, which you could get even with the highest end graphics performance on the PC. And, you know, sure, it wouldn't last more than like 6 months, but there are times when the console can exceed PC in performance. I wouldn't argue the price performance, but just simply actual pure performance. There are times when that happens.
And so. I'd also argue that the consoles, the thing, the real value of the consoles for the whole ecosystem is that they set the bar for a lengthy period of time. You know, like we're seeing ray tracing hardware coming, ray tracing games that use ray tracing coming out because there's a large installed base on the PS5 and the Xbox Series. And like, we wouldn't get that if it was just, hey, we have to rely on the lunatic, the half of a percent of people who buy 4090s and 4080s and high end graphics cards for the PC. Cause otherwise we'd just be building everything for 2060s right now.
Or the Steam Deck.
Sorry, I laughed a little bit because it's like you're about to use the word and they're like, wait a second, am I going to call myself that? No.
No, I changed my mind.
I don't get it.
He was going to say lunatics, like the people who are like super into the highest end, right? Of all the things.
The RGB makes my computer.
He's like, no, I'm not going to call myself that.
There's plenty of
motorheads.
Nothing wrong with it.
Elena, my RGB makes my computer faster. I don't want to hear anything about it.
There you go.
Hey, I've got RGB in mind too.
Damn right.
Well, lastly, the chat seems to have spoken. So I put out a poll half an hour ago because we've been chatting for this topic for quite a while, asking, hey, if you can do your taxes on an Xbox, it is considered a console or a PC. Now, still a console was leading at first, and then now it's kind of falling behind at 46%. Considering it a PC is now at 54%. So Xbox is a PC is the final verdict from the chat. Thank you, everyone, for voting in.
People have spoken.
Thank you. Thank you.
That means we should
move on. I'm going to close the poll. Yes, we're going to move on.
I'm sure, because the next one's going to make people really happy.
Yeah. Speaking of Microsoft wanting your money, this is breaking news. Gordon sent this over right before the show, so we had to change up the topics. So I don't really know about this. Gordon, you're going to have to take it. But the headline from one Mike Kreider over at PC World says, want to keep using Windows 10 safely? Microsoft wants $61 per year. Subhead says, Microsoft's extended security updates for Windows 10 past its support date now has a price, and it's more than $400 to keep your PC patched until 2027. Whoa.
$61 per year.
Per year to patch
beginning it. So if you don't know, because you've been hiding under a rock, Windows 10 will no longer receive security updates after October of 2025. That is the day that it all ends for Windows 10. And Microsoft has done this for large enterprise and large government contractors in the past. They will still roll out security updates. They charge them. We now know the price will be $61. And then it will, quote, the price will double every consecutive year for a maximum of 3 years, Microsoft says. That would make year two start at $122 and year three, $244. And by the way, if you decide to skip the security updates for the first year and buy in on the second year, you still have to pay for the first year of updates.
Well, I mean, they come with that second year free, right? You're just getting them rolled out.
This isn't like an old service pack, right? This isn't like you can install service pack 2 and download service pack 1 for free. This is you pay for service pack 1 and you pay for service pack 2.
Hey,
so yeah.
Here's a question: how long has Windows 11 been out now? Do we know? I mean, I know we know, but like, do we remember as a group? I'm curious. Don't look it up.
Probably 3 years. It was like 3 years.
October 2021.
Is that it? That feels right to me.
That feels earlier than that.
Two, three, four.
That's about right.
What is it?
Roughly 3 years.
So it'll be 4 years by the time they pull the plug on the last version of Windows. I don't think Windows 11 is great, but I don't feel like that's a bad length of time.
Here's the thing, though. Sorry, Gordon. Were you actually?
No, you should, because we're going to double barrel him with anger here. You should go first.
Specifically, this is about Windows 10, though. So these are people who don't want to go on Windows 11, who've been using Windows 10 since whenever that came out.
Here's the thing that we haven't mentioned, and I think it's really relevant to this, is that
2015.
There's a lot of hardware out there that cannot make the jump to Windows 11.
That's true.
There's a lot of hardware that cannot make the jump to Windows 11. So what they're basically doing is putting people in a really awkward position with this, because that means what's going to happen is that they're going to just be a ton of people who are going to be running unpatched Windows 10. Because they can't afford to upgrade their hardware to compatible Windows 10, 11 hardware, excuse me. And they're not going to be able to afford successively increasing prices for security patches. And this is going to go opposite in the direction that Microsoft says it wants to go with the Windows ecosystem. So I get what they're trying to do. I just don't think it's going to end well, or the way that they're hoping.
This is because of the TSR requirements, right? The TSM, the hardware
GPU module. It's not just the GPU.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's ever gotten to the bottom of the reasons why things are pushed overboard and things. Like, I will tell you, when I'm looking to the right, I'm looking at my current desktop, and it has a Skylake processor in it. It's one of the Skylake processors that is qualified to run Windows 11. I have no idea why. There are bizarre Surface Studio. Remember the Surface, that beautiful Surface all-in-one that has
the Studio one? Yeah.
Some of those chips receive Windows 11 updates, and I have no idea why.
I think I know. Base, remember what you told me about? I think this is the same explanation you gave me. I'm just going to regurgitate it for you, which is, remember when I said, was it like the Meltdown Spectre, all that kind of stuff? And you were like, hey, like, you're probably not going to get a BIOS update for that. And I was like, well, I did. You were like, it's probably because somebody who's a really important customer from Microsoft bought a bunch of those boards, or sort of Intel bought a bunch of those boards. So it's very possible that that could apply to this scenario that you're talking about here, where someone just bought a boatload of Skylake processors for some application. And they're like, oh, whoops, we're going to have to make an exception for that one.
I think the reason why, if this were a normal thing, like if Microsoft says, you know what, just stop running Windows 8, okay, just please stop. Because honestly, Microsoft has been a really good steward of Windows over the decades because, hey, you know what, I know you're angry, we're going to make you move off of Windows 7, but you know what, you can run Windows 8 upgrade for free.
Yeah.
You want Windows 10? It's free, not a problem. What we're going to run into in October of 2025 will be something the PC has never in its entire history done before, which is we are going to do the most Apple thing in the world and take literally hundreds of millions of computers back behind the barn. And you know what you do with the animal behind the barn, and that's what's going to happen.
A good time, we'll give him a big hug.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I just don't know what's going to happen because, you know, like Elena says, a lot of people can't afford it, and they are just going to really run unpatched operating systems. I don't know where those people are going to go.
I completely forgot about the hardware requirements for Windows 11. I completely rescind my earlier statement. The fact that they're going to landfill hundreds of millions of computers is after 4 years is ridiculous, right?
It's not after 4 years, because once again, these machines are running Windows 10, which came out
4 years after they made an arbitrary decision to stop supporting the old hardware.
So the vast majority, you know, probably 99% of 7th gen and back will not be qualified to run Windows 11 and up. And what is it, Ryzen 2000 and up? 2000 and low? Ryzen 2000, I think, is cut off. Or is it the original?
It's a lot.
Before. It goes against everything the PC has stood for in its entire existence. And I kind of wish they would come out and be more straight with the reasons why. I suppose some of it could be, we just want you to buy new hardware because if we let you run your 20-year-old POS, by the way, there's a reason why Apple's continuing to kick us in the face, because they can take old hardware out and flush them all day, and their buyers start clapping like, oh my gosh, it's like Logan's Run.
I'm looking at you, Will. I don't know why. I was just looking in that direction. Okay,
right? If they do that, because I mean, Apple people, if you take It's like they renew. Like they take you and they think they're like, oh, you're going to a better place. It's not. Like, no, you're taking my x86 MacBook that I paid $4,000 for, and you're stranding me, you know, behind, right? And that, but Apple users have traditionally just clapped at that. PC users have never tolerated that, and I just don't know what's going to happen. And now that we know they want $61
per year,
just absolutely. We're kind of bonkers.
I mean, we know what happens when a bunch of Windows users don't run security updates, because it happened in Windows XP before the SP2 stuff. It was a complete disaster, and every computer in the world was infected with this boatload of spyware and crapware. Like, it's going to be bad. You're absolutely right.
And I want to know why. I mean, is it just because they're tired of, like, people trying to roll 15-year-old hardware? And, I mean, let's be honest. If you have to support everybody from 15-year-old hardware to the newest thing, it makes it a terrible experience. We all know this, right? And plus, you have to. So they just want to make the window smaller to make it more manageable. Or is there actually a legitimate reason why KB and back is cut off? Like, is it really? I remember early on when they made the announcement, there were a lot of arguments, and I kind of was sort of supportive. It's like, if there's legitimate performance issues because they are now doing newer security procedures that basically on a Broadwell and back just like run like poo, I guess I can understand that, but I've never seen anybody, you know, nail that down. And then now that you're talking about $61 and then $122 and $244, it's just like, oh.
My bet is that no one who's still there is from the bad old times when Windows XP wasn't getting updated with security updates, and they had to rewrite the entire OS in 6 months to solve their worldwide, you know, virus problem, right?
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Those people have all been carouseled.
It's they have been, right. I just don't get it. I just think people are gonna be super pissed off. And is Microsoft gonna blink, right? And I don't think they're gonna blink this time. I think they, again, just like Xbox, you know what? You know how much money you make compared to all the other stuff we're making? It ain't much.
Does that mean you aren't going to get like Defender updates and stuff like that on Windows XP, on Windows 10 anymore?
Yeah.
Because presumably those are cross-platform. Like, those shouldn't be specific to Windows 10.
Yeah, I would bet you would still get the definitions for Defender. But I just think, does it really matter? Because you're going to have so many holes in the operating system.
Yeah, it's bad.
That's the problem they're in. They either have people who are going to get angry because of the price, or they're going to have a lot of people who are exposed, that's not good for them either way, right? So which is the lesser of two evils for them? I guess. I don't know.
You know, the funny thing though is, it's, you know, again, and I know the internet, you hate Microsoft unfairly, but Microsoft has forever given you free operating systems, right? Remember how fun it is being on Android? Oh, your Android phone is 4 years old? You ain't getting squat. Go out and buy a new $1,000 phone.
That's why I don't buy Android phones, frankly. Yeah.
For that's Microsoft, it's like, we give you Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 8.1, Windows 10, Windows 11. How can you complain about that all these years? It hasn't really gotten them any goodwill. People are still angry at them. But the weird thing is, now we're seeing Android go the other way, where Samsung and Google are like, hey, we'll give you 7 years of security updates for your Android phone.
That's a safe bet for them, because those phones are going to be out of the channel in 7 years. Like, a phone doesn't – phone batteries are good for 1,500 charges, and like that math works out to, what, 5.5, 6 years?
But doesn't that work for PC too? Because, you know, laptop batteries, same thing. You have a limited life cycle, and
– that's true.
Vast majority of PCs are laptops these days. I would think that's, they're sort of going the opposite of what Google and Samsung are doing, and Apple, frankly, because Apple's actually been a very good steward about for iOS. They're certainly not really good for Mac OS, because they're like, hey, by the way, x86, right? But
yeah.
iOS, they're like, hey, no problem. This POS thing that can barely run anything, we'll roll out this latest OS. But I just don't know. I think there's just going to be a massive, you know, shitstorm that's going to happen in 2025. I just don't know what's going to happen.
Willis, you got to get on the beep button.
It's just such a new experience for us, because we've always been able to run the latest operating system. And it just kills me. Like, yeah, you got a Sandy Bridge box that is actually perfectly fine for what it's doing. If you don't have a patched OS on it, you don't really want to even connect that to the internet, right? You want to air gap it and that's it.
Yeah.
You'd be crazy to put on the internet.
Yeah.
Most people could use Linux instead, but they're not going to. They're just going to leave it unpatched.
Well,
that's the reality of it.
I mean, have any of you fooled with that Chrome OS install that they have? I put that on an old MacBook that my daughter uses. And it's...
Didn't they get bought?
No.
Yeah. So it used to be cloud ready.
Yeah.
They were independent. And then Google bought them. Oh. So they turned it into Chrome OS at OS Flex. So it's branded still with the Chrome OS, under Chrome OS now, but it's a separate.
Does it support old operating systems?
So the way it works is that Chrome OS is still reserved as like the official thing, and it comes with extra things like the whole like secure boot, like verified boot, that kind of stuff, so that your Chromebook is considered more secure. Chrome OS Flex can be installed on pretty much any device, however, x86 device. However, yeah, there's a list of supported devices. So like if it has a touch screen or like it has certain audio drivers, those devices listed in that official supported list are the ones that will operate properly. So it's kind of like, yeah, you can try installing it on this one that's not on the list, but it may just, you may not have like, you know, your microphone might not work, or, you know, things are a little weird, basically.
I misspoke. I mean, it doesn't install on older hardware. So that's...
Yeah, I did it. I have an article on how to convert an old laptop to a Chromebook on our website. And the machine I used was like a Lenovo X240. So like, I think a Haswell era laptop. It works great. It runs really super smooth. Honestly, it's better. It's still like that chip is still a better chip than a lot of the really like stripped down ARM chips that they use for Chromebooks.
I put it on a Sandy Bridge MacBook Air, and it was fantastic. I was like blown away. Like, if
oh, really?
It was super way smooth. Faster than this Chromebook that my kid's school gave her during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Well, back to Windows. Surprisingly, the chat is loving this idea by Microsoft. I'm just kidding.
Really?
It's a joke. No, it was a joke. April Fool's.
You're too late for April Fool's. Oh, my goodness. Come on, Adam. It is the third right now already.
But, I mean, here's the thing, though. Like, I would rather go back to paying for Windows and just not getting, like, not having them install a bunch of crap that I don't want. Right, like I don't want a Candy Crush installed on my Windows ever.
LinkedIn.
I want to be the customer and not the product. And I'm happy to pay $100 to Microsoft when I build a new PC to do that. In the meantime, and I say that knowing full well that just like I am pretty sure that if you looked at the provenance of the Windows key that's installed on my computer, it probably started when I worked at Maximum PC in like 2007 with Windows 7.
What's your problem of being the product?
I don't want them to be dumping a bunch of. I want to be the only one that puts stuff on my computer. I don't want them to put a bunch of crap that I don't want on my computer. I have to go through and uninstall Candy Crush and a bunch of other nonsense every 6 months. And like, I don't want to be marketed to on my desktop PC. Like, I'm fine being, I'm marketed to literally everywhere, but there in the bathroom and my Steam Deck, I guess, kind of. I want to be able to give them money and take a service from them, which is them providing me an operating system that does what I want. And I don't want any Copilot. I don't want any, hey, have you tried Bing? I don't want, oh, hey, here's a bunch of Bing results when I type in the start menu. I don't want to find out how great Edge is. I don't want to know about Office 365. I don't care about OneDrive. Let's see what
Copilot.
Other stuff
teams. Teams.
I already said no Copilot. Copilot. I'll see Copilot in hell.
You're gonna get a key. Copilot key now.
Yeah. I know. I don't want any of that. I just want Windows, and I want it to run Windows programs that I install, and I want it to leave me the hell alone.
Hey, well, no, if Microsoft pays you to put ads in your bathroom, would you do it?
How much? What are we talking about?
I don't know.
Now he's open. Yeah.
Now you know you heard me sort of dumping on Microsoft now for 20 minutes. Let me ask you something, Will. I want you to take your head, tilt it about...
Take your head? Just tilt it.
17 degrees to your left.
Yeah.
No, I mean like stretching. Pivot.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now move your head down 10 degrees.
Yeah, right there.
And in front of you,
yeah.
The device.
Yeah.
What's How much control do you have over that? What is that, Android based?
I have a it's split screens, so I can see. I have a Firefox window on one side and a YouTube window on the other side.
I just want to say this
for audio listeners.
We got to say there is a double standard that I will never understand. Where I've had you know, other tech journalists and people that are techies like, oh my god, I can't believe I got to have a Microsoft account to sign into Windows. What phone are you using? Oh, this is a brand new, it's a brand new Apple or Android phone, and it's got so many damn things signed in. Like, what the F is your problem where you could sign your entire life away to Apple and Google, but for some reason your desktop operating system is some kind of firewalled thing? I don't understand that attitude. And I want to defend Microsoft here because I don't understand why, if you're like, you're willing to give your life away to your phone maker and tablet maker, what the hell's wrong with you signing into
I'll explain it really simply. Go ahead, Elena.
I was just going to say, I have an answer for that, but it is not the normal person's response, so Gordon's argument would still stand.
So here's the thing. I pay for photos, the place that I want to pay for photos, right? I pay for photo storage with Google. And I pay for Dropbox for my cloud storage because I want to use Dropbox, and that's the one that I've used, and it's cross-platform, and it's good. I'm always going to do the cross-platform one because I work on Windows, and I work on Linux, and I used to work on Mac, not so much anymore, but my phone's on iOS, and I live in all of those different places. So I don't pay for Apple. I do pay for Apple Music because my wife pays for Apple Music, and we get the family dealy, so we all have Apple Music and Apple Arcade. But she uses storage on her phone, and I don't use that storage for my backups and stuff like that, right? I want to be able to choose, and I don't want it to bother me every time it doesn't update. Like, say what you will about iOS, but I don't install a patch from Apple, and then it's like, hey, man, you look like a new user. Have you considered signing up for Apple iCloud? What do you think about Apple? You know what's dope about Apple Music? We've got the new Beyonce album. It's country. Did you know? No. Microsoft is terrible at this stuff, and also, it's the device where I'm least likely to need that stuff because it's plugged into the wall at my house and it weighs 50 pounds and it's hooked up to a NAS where it's backed up automatically. So I don't need any cloud bullshit for it. Sorry.
We got to mark this episode as explicit. We're done.
None of the 8-year-olds are watching this 3-hour PC podcast.
You know what's really cool then? Go on to that Apple tablet you have. And then press that little colorful icon that says iPhotos or photos. And
I don't
then
use
uninstall
that one.
It. Can you uninstall it?
I don't care. It just lives in the tray with all the 50 million other apps.
Yeah, but you don't want that app cluttering, taking up space.
It's
can
like
you uninstall
300
kilobytes. That?
Who cares? It's a
yeah, but why?
A
why can't you uninstall it? You know, I bring that up because the EU basically is like coming out and says, Apple, you need to let users unbundle the photo application from iOS, right?
I think that's great. That sounds wonderful. But
yeah, but you're complaining about Microsoft. I agree. Their commercials are bad.
And Candy Crush, you know, pre-installed.
But there is a double standard where for some reason, if Apple or Google does it, it's perfectly okay.
No, they don't annoy me with it. Is the thing I don't care. It's not. This isn't like a Cory Doctorow style. Hey, I'm complaining about the way things are because I'm an old man yelling at the clouds. This is me saying, don't annoy me with being bad at things. If they were good at it, I wouldn't mind because they'd bother me once and I hit the no button and then I'd never hear from it again.
Yeah, but
they're
you
terrible.
Can't uninstall the photo
to be
app
fair,
on iOS.
The example you used was Candy Crush. Which isn't necessarily annoying you.
They install it every update. It's back every time I take a major Windows update.
But you can uninstall it, whereas you can't uninstall that photo app you don't even use or pay for.
But like, why do they really think that I've said no 15 times to OneDrive and I'm finally like the, you know, if they put the period in a different place in the pitch, I'm going to probably say yes. They're A/B testing me, and I don't like it.
Probably.
Anyway,
I'm just saying a little bit of hypocrisy there. A little bit of hypocrisy.
I'm comfortable with my amount of hypocrisy. It turns out, I'm just going to go.
I will say,
angry typing.
There is an exception to what you're saying, Gordon, and that is as a reviewer, I do not want to enter my Microsoft account on 15 different PCs over the course of 3 weeks.
I have a burner account. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a test account that I use, and it's actually, I can use it to maintain it. It actually works out pretty well. So
I just don't like it because I can't guarantee it's not going to sync things. You know, like I don't want it to sync like that. So that's why I prefer local. But again, very small, very, very like minuscule, less than probably 0.1% of the population.
Yeah, but I guess the thing that kind of kills me is I know people who have lost machines and they luckily, because they were average people, they'd signed up for the Microsoft account and they got the modern operating system experience of like, by the way, we've backed up all your documents in your desktop.
That's great.
That's very much like modern OSs in mobile OSs, which did benefit them. So if they didn't do it and they were just some crank and had a local account, everything would have just been vaporized with the drive, right? So can you blame Microsoft for wanting to make it easier for people to not lose everything on their computer? I can't. I just can't. I can't blame them for that. Yet people get super angry because, you know, yeah, the ads are not good, but at the same time, there are real benefits to it when you have modern features, you let them add modern features. I mean, it's just one of those things where Windows people just like, we wish things never changed from Windows 7 or Windows XP, right? It's just like, but you can't run a business trying to sell somebody the same candy bar that you sold them 50 years ago because one day nobody wants to eat your damn candy bar because, you know, you can't change the taste of it. So, I don't know. It's a bad place to be.
To come back to the security thing, though, you want to make security easy for people, right? Just like backup, all that kind of stuff. You want to make it easy for people, and instituting this does not make it easy for people.
No.
Right? Especially if they want to stay with the hardware that they have. Because a lot of people do, you know, so that's, yeah.
I have an idea.
Well, real quick, you should do a poll. Are people willing to pay $61 for Windows updates?
Would you say this is...
I had a thought. I was like, I'm pretty sure the majority.
I know what the answer is.
I'm curious. Okay.
400.
Okay. 400. Okay.
400 for 3 years, wasn't it?
Well, it's $61 a year, you know.
No,
61,
no, no,
then
not.
22,
it's 61
then
the first year.
Yeah.
It's 61 the first year, 122 the next year, and 244 the following year. So it's like what Gordon said, like approximately $400-ish total.
Oh, maybe here's a better
until
question.
Actual end of life.
Are you willing to pay for money for security updates?
Mm. So,
you know, so because I mean that's the thing we're boiling down to, right? Is it, you know, regardless of the price, having to charge for security updates just to use your old hardware is not good any way they slice it. I mean, I guess it's different. Maybe it's a dollar versus 60, but it's still, you know, paying for security is
here. I've got
new.
The fix for this.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the they can take this. I'm going to give this to Microsoft.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, they're watching Microsoft. Right now.
Here's what
go.
You do.
Listen up.
On October 23rd, what you do is you lock all the Windows 10 PCs so people can't use them anymore. And you pop up a screen that says, your data's fine. But if you want to keep using this PC, you got to give us money. And then you put your credit card number in and they just, you're
easy.
Good. That's it.
Yeah.
Done. Because they shouldn't be able to use their PC if it doesn't have security updates. That's dangerous.
Good
and
point, yeah.
And then, you know.
They'll get it right on the.
Like, don't worry, your data's fine. Because that's my favorite screen during an
don't
update.
Worry,
don't worry,
fine.
Your data's
don't
okay.
Don't worry, it's safe.
Yeah, everything's fine.
I love this, where it's just basically ransomware.
Yeah. I mean, that's where we're at, right? Hey, we're going to stop supporting your OS. You got a real nice PC here. It'd be a real shame if something happened to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, you like that screen on that PC?
Yeah,
it'd be a real shame if it cracked.
You got all your personal data on here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say, though, again, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Do you think, though, this is similar to states that have... safety checks for vehicles, you know, like being from California, well, we have our own kind of weirdness, but there are states in the East that like you have to bring your car in for a safety check. You bring it into whatever.
Make sure you have windshield
office,
wipers and tires.
And they look at it and they go like, oh my God, look at this. What the hell is this? Is this a Sandy Bridge machine that you are running on a hard drive with 3 gigs of RAM? This POS, you are not taking this on my free. You are not taking this because it's not freeways. You are not taking this on my highway, son.
Interstate,
get this piece
Gordon.
Of crap out of here. We are going to crush this POS because you are going to get on the road,
and
be driving down it, and you're going to start leaking oil, and then you're going to swerve out, and you're going to cause a wreck that kills a bunch of people. So. Do you think it's similar to that safety check? And of course, the California thing.
Yeah,
here
then you
is
move
like,
to a different place, and they're like, "Yeah, it's fine."
Yeah, but yeah, in California, it's like, "Oh, you can drive your POS, but it's producing a lot of smog, son. So we're taking it off the road, but it's fine. It's a perfect nope." We're going to crush it right now. I mean, you know, it's for the good of humanity. We're going to crush your smog making car. That's the California thing. But don't you think like for the greater good, is that a plausible reason for ending it for everybody in 2025?
Wait, is it a greater good though? Because if everyone's just running unpatched Windows 10, I don't think that's actually.
Well,
up to the greater
you're not going
to
be running it unpatched for long because you're going to lose it all yeah. because somebody will steal it.
Yeah.
So I guess in some ways it improves because you're like, oh, I guess I got to go buy a new computer finally. You know,
it's emotional trauma that they're trying to purposely sow because that way people will always be like, I got to have the most up-to-date thing.
Maybe that's a good thing. It'll teach them to have proper security updates and backup.
Yeah, if Microsoft doesn't make the ransomware, somebody else will. That's the thing to remember. So
we're making a lot of jokes here, Fraudy.
Yeah, maybe you're right, Will. Maybe you're right. Maybe they should just do it. Just like, you know what? Man. Just stop. Yeah, we backed up all safe. Your data. Here's a link to Dell, HP, Lenovo, Asus.
And
here's a Best Buy. There's one. Actually, it's walking distance from your house. Go down there, buy this computer, sign in. We will restore all the data. And you will actually have a brand new modern experience with a Bing key or no, AI key, Copilot key on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But your data will be much more secure than that POS, you know, like, Sandy Bridge box you've been driving down the road and polluting the world with. So I don't know. I don't know how they dig themselves out of this one because they're fundamentally changing everything. And I guess I do have some sympathy because they have to do something. And I just don't know how it's going to not end up with everybody marching on Redmond
I bet they end up rolling back the requirements for Windows 11 installs.
I don't think so.
I think it's too late.
The stripped down version of like Windows 11 Super N or something that's like the no frills Windows 11.
Windows 11 Super Nintendo?
Again, it's just client
console. Windows 11 console edition.
There you go.
Yeah. Maybe at the bottom of Gordon's, hey, here's the Dell and HP links. There's also a hey, do you hate yourself? Here's a Linux install. Year of the Linux desktop.
Do they still have that like stripped down version of Windows that was supposed to compete with Chrome OS?
What N or S?
It's N.
Windows?
Yeah.
No. Windows 10
they,
S.
I think they gave up on
S.
that.
Yeah.
Because I was gonna say like that could be an option for them where they like force people where. Yeah.
Edge OS, like Chrome OS. You know, you just run an Edge browser anyway. Yeah. Well, we'll see.
We're living on the edge.
We'll see. We'll come back to this. We got a poll. Yeah, obviously we know the majority.
Yeah.
there are some people that are willing to pay a subscription. But you know,
interesting.
Most of the people are not. So
the first year I think is $60. Okay.
That's $5 a month, So would you
20.
How much is your data worth?
They're just turning the heat up to make sure you get off that machine, right?
Yeah.
So I know we're about to get off this topic, but I do have a question. Like, this is going to be a huge pain in the butt for a bunch of businesses. And like, I feel like a year and a half is not a lot of time for like getting that kind of deployment figured out. I'm surprised that they would be announcing it relatively so late.
Well, I wonder if they're making it different. Like, I wonder if on the back end, like licensing the keys for large deployments is going to be a different pay structure than this. Maybe this is just for end users.
Having lived that Y2K life, I will tell you, you can update a lot of PCs in a year and a half.
Well, it's the money. It's the money.
I know.
It's also not a new thing, though. I mean, for Elena, they've done this in the past. They provided updates for obsolete operating systems because, you know, as we know, the United States government tends to move at the speed of concrete frozen on Pluto. So they have done, and by the way, they don't ever care about how much money it costs. So they've done it before. I don't know if the cost structure is different. This really is the big change here to me is for consumers.
Yeah.
So
it is. It feels more like impactful on consumers, but I also think that like say that you're a business that can't really afford to pay that much per year per license, but also upgrading to Windows 11 on newer machines or whatever you need to do to make that happen is also not an issue. Like, I just think it's going to be kind of sticky for businesses of a certain size.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you because this again was the first time the answer isn't to just install the newest operating system. The answer is to go buy a new computer, and that's really going to just piss everybody off.
Well, if you're looking for a cheap PC, you can check out over at PCWorld.com. We've got great articles on how to get a new PC.
Start buying now, folks. Planning for it now.
Or just install a friend of the show, Ivan Ramanazov, gave us a good point. Just install the Gordon OS. It only charges a $1 fee for every login.
There you go.
Yeah, boom. So you
swipe your card.
Never reboot.
Yeah, never reboot. Just keep your machine on the whole time. So there you go. The more it's on, the more you save.
And you install a mouse jiggler so it never logs off.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, those are the days.
Yeah. All right, let's move over to Q&A so we can get out of here. If you got some questions right now, get them in the chat at PC World. That's the easiest way for us to see it. And if you're listening or watching this later, there's a link to our Discord in the description. You can go over there. We have a question channel that you can drop a question into that hopefully we'll get to. We do have a couple super chats I want to get to that we're neglecting. People love this console talk. Here we go. Friend of the show, Coffee, gave us a $2.79 Canadian, said PS4s are mining cards. I don't know. I think they're saying there was I saw a report years ago that somebody was using PS4s. They were mining on PS4s.
Crypto on PS4s. Wow.
They also gave us a $6.99 Canadian dollars for a friend's show, Coffee. Again, thank you. It says, when you have a monopoly, your main goal is to appear like you don't. Yep. Okay.
Fair.
I like that. Friend of the show, VC Jester, gave us $5 super chat. Thank you so much. Said, can we admit that mining may have convinced more people to purchase a PC?
Maybe.
Has it?
I don't know. I feel like a lot of people bought
PCs. Well, there were the console shortages. There were back in the dark days, a few years ago, when we were all hunkered at home and we had nothing else to do but play video games, there was a shortage for all the consoles. So I think some people were turning to PC because they needed something.
And the 2017 mining boom, too. Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe. VC Jester gave us another $5 super chat. Thank you so much. Said, if you want to preserve access to old games, you'll need to get the National Historic Society involved. They never lose a fight. Cool.
There you go.
Bushy1147 gave us $5 super chat. Thank you so much. Said, Will, you can download... for my Abandonware.
Yeah, but you can't install it. That's the problem. The installer doesn't work. The download, anyway.
It reminds me of what we should do is you have the National Historic Society, like more local ones, and they just simply declare the operating system an historic operating system.
Oh.
How they do that to buildings? Like, oh, look at this great big, I bought this lovely Victorian. It's beautiful. Bad. We're going to totally, no, you can't. This is a site of historic. Benjamin Franklin picked his nose here, so you can't do anything. What? But I just bought this place for $1 million. No, you can't do anything. Everything has to stay the same, including the lead-based paint that's everywhere. So we get them involved, and they just simply declare Windows 10 a historic operating system.
Can't drill holes in a historic building.
Yeah, it's
can't,
protected under certain rights.
Historic operating systems.
Like yeah. I've heard stories from our cousins in the UK about buildings where it looks like it's from 1942 because it's historic and they can't do anything. Like they have to act somebody like the old fashioned a phone operator. We have to plug stuff in because they can't change anything in the building.
We're cooking their steak and kidney pie on a wood fired stove.
I like it.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, Denever1G1, gave us a $10 super chat. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Said, 100% agree with Elena. Desktops and consoles are very different genre of personal computers. Sure, they're not mainframes or cloud computers, but they're not desktop laptop PCs. They're console PCs. Okay. Yep. It's a good way to
people
sum it up.
Denever1G1
also gave us a $5 super chat. Thank you so much. Said, thumbs are fingers, but fingers are not thumbs, and that's fine. Consoles don't have to be desktops. Yeah, true. Friend of the show, Skeetsayer, gives a $5 Canadian super chat. All this Canadian dollars coming in. Thank you. My OneDrive sub has ended, and Microsoft wants me to pay them $6.99 Canadian a month to maintain it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Well, can't you just download it all and move it to another service?
Yeah, I guess.
Just to be clear, like, you can sign up for a commercial Gmail account on your own domain for $6 a month, right? It's like, that's, and then you get like full, tons of email storage, tons of photo storage, the whole thing. Like, it's their offer is bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, Microsoft.
Well, shots fired. You can do it my way. I don't know if it's applicable in Canada, but you just buy discounted codes and stack them.
There you go. I did that with deal my hack. Xbox Live.
And that's a deal hack.
Yeah. There you go. Denever1D1 also gave us another $10 super chat. Thank you so much. Said, bought 200 laptops in early 2020. Latest in that model line. Doesn't support Windows 11 despite having hardware TPM 2.0 and Secure Boot. Ryzen 7 2700U, and I have Windows 11 on 12 PS5s.
What? 12 PS5s?
12X PS5s. This is how I'm reading up. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, that's bonkers. You can buy a laptop in 2020 that doesn't support Windows 11.
Yeah,
stinks.
That is a bummer. That is a bummer.
What the hell was that?
They said it was a Ryzen 2700.
Oh, yeah. The Ryzen's, yeah. Okay.
Because
yeah.
I think that chip was technically Zen 1. Actually Zen 1, right?
Yeah.
To that 2700U, Scott. Yeah, that was kind of like, what? That was part of the rage when they first announced it.
Whoopsie doodle.
Yeah.
Come and see us.
Yeah. We got some questions we're going to get to. This first one comes in from Adam Patrick Murray. Weird. He says, do you have a new handheld you want to talk about? Oh, actually, I do.
Oh, Adam, do you have a new handheld you want to talk about?
Oh, yeah. You know what's funny? I've been using it this whole time. Check this out.
Wait, that toy laptop is a gaming computer?
Wait, check this out.
What is
that?
It is a 11 inch screen.
With Joy-Cons.
Oh, and people were giving you grief for using a tablet in the chat earlier.
Boom. But you're playing a tablet. This is a handheld console.
You're playing Google Docs with 4 degrees
right?
of freedom.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you do your taxes on it?
Oh, 100% you can do your taxes on this. So this is the 1X Player X1.
The 1X Player X1?
1X Player, one word.
Okay, X1.
X1.
Meaning it's the first one in the line, presumably.
Listen, so this is a Intel based. So I got this in because this is the only other Meteor Lake based handheld that I have that's launched out there. So I wanted to see, hey, is it any different performance wise from the MSI Claw, whatever. But yeah, their idea is that, hey, what if we took a tablet, essentially 11 inch Windows tablet, allowed for optional accessories like this keyboard dock. I actually do
like
this.
I like that the stand is separate. Yeah, that's hot.
And it is pretty hardcore. It attaches with a magnet. Am I putting it upside down? Oh, yeah, whatever. It has detachable controllers, you know, a la the Switch and, the Lenovo Legion Go. So this is...
How does the controller feel in your hands? Is it a good?
Unfortunately, these controllers are crappy. This is the worst experience of it. To tell you the truth, though, I actually do like gaming with a huge screen.
I thought about getting one of those clamp-on things for the iPad because, like, that's a huge screen.
Yeah.
Well, you say that now. So, what's the limit? How big of a tablet screen do you need?
Man,
this is enough. This is
I don't know because it. Hey, listen. If people know me, they've known I've always wanted the biggest screen possible in my pocket. I've always loved huge phones. I have huge gaming handhelds. That's one of the things I have liked about the Lenovo Legion Go. It's a real big display, but this has got 3 inches on it. This is a huge display, and I was like, okay, this is probably too much. It also weighs like three times the Lenovo Legion Go or something.
It's pretty thick.
And we always say bigger bar better. Adam's a bigger screen better.
Real question though, can you fit it in a pocket? Can you fit it in one of your pockets specifically?
Maybe if he was wearing JNCOs, maybe.
Yeah, well,
bring back the JNCOs.
It's pretty wide.
I don't think there's any handhelds. Well, maybe that iNeo Air is probably the only handheld that I can probably...
Didn't you do a live stream for a pocket test?
Oh, you're right. We did. Yeah.
Was it the INEO that you could fit to?
I think that's the only one that would fit in a normal pocket. But yeah, most of the handhelds I have. So I don't know. I feel like I haven't hit the limit because at first I was like, yeah, this is going to be too big. And then I started playing and I was like, you know what? This is actually pretty nice.
And I'm sure...
Will's
going to demonstrate.
INEO Air...
It fits in the pocket.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
no, the front pocket. Front pocket. We need the front pocket.
It's not going to go in the front pocket. Are you kidding?
It might.
Can you sit with it, though?
Adam's going to demonstrate now, too.
If I don't want it to last very long. Oh, wow. That's a deep pocket. Holy cow.
These are Levi's. Can
you're
I fit?
Gonna, you're gonna hurt yourself there.
Oh, Adam looks like he's struggling. Yeah, no.
Adam winces. Oh,
I will say, I am used to big phones. So,
I see. I'm used to a dainty.
I'm going to do this whole show, the rest of the show, with this in my pocket.
It's been 5 minutes.
You know what? The mention of JNCOs, though, makes me realize, or maybe think, actually, that like the whole reason we're seeing a surge in handhelds is because they got together with the fashion industry and they were like, hey, so what's coming down the pipeline? They're like, we got gigantic pants with gigantic pockets. It's like, sweet, finally, we can make the
cargo pants
we've always
back.
Wanted to.
Now, I'm sure everyone also wants to know, and because everyone knows Adam with handhelds, did you sniff it?
Oh, of course I sniffed it.
Oh, gross.
It's kind of minty. I'm not a huge fan.
Minty?
Minty?
I don't know. You want to try?
Let me have a huff.
Oh, my God.
That doesn't smell minty. It smells like urinal cakes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they all are flavors of that.
Yeah.
So, minty urinal cake. Anyway, maybe. I would not recommend this for a lot of reasons, but it is interesting to have this form factor to say, hey, you know what? I've got... Like, what doesn't it have? You know, it's a laptop, it's a tablet, it's a gaming handheld.
New shimmers of floor wax. No, new shimmers of dessert topping.
Yeah. Julian's.
It has the keyboard looks nice, and I like that it has the WASD highlighted.
Yeah.
Although I am an ESDF person.
The keyboard keys are fine, but this trackpad is, like, real junk, unfortunately. That's not great, so. But, yeah. It is the second Intel-based handheld out on the market, so. Mm. I wanted to try for that reason. Anyway, thanks for your question, Adam. Next time, give a super chat if you want it to actually be read. You know, we actually do have a couple super chats I forgot from last week that I didn't get to that I wanted to bring up. Friend of the show, VC Jester, gave us a $5 super chat. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Last week, and said, how does the AI world plan to prevent AI inbreeding where AI trains on data produced by AI?
Oh, they're watermarking. So, like, images that are AI generated are watermarked in a machine readable way, so they ignore when they're training.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know how they're doing it on text, but on images.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Also, the anti-AI people are using the same technology to poison the well on training new sets.
Ooh.
As well.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So there's a war.
There's an
brewing.
Actual answer.
There's
Thank
a war
you.
Brewing.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know how they work it on text. No. Like, I think we're gonna. I think we're probably just gonna train the AIs on text, and our text that's generated by the AIs is gonna get increasingly stupid.
Great. And then last week, friend of the show, Coffee, gave us $5 Canadian. Thank you so much. Said, what's wrong with Dragon's Dogma 2? Are Genova plus AAA 2024 games too much to handle? Are most CPUs too weak? Does this game work better on a 14900K or 7950X? The answer is probably not. Have you played Dragon's Dogma 2?
I have, but I've exclusively streamed it to the Steam Deck, so I'm playing it like 1280x800.
Yeah. If people don't know, that it's there's a lot of problems with the game performance-wise, especially. And I even think high-end rigs aren't still struggling.
It seems fine on the 4090 with the 14700K, but I don't know.
Oh, that's good.
Probably not a good representative sample of what the game is.
This also does feel... Like maybe this, I can't remember exactly the developer who made Dragon's Dogma 2, but this also feels like one of those things where they didn't put a ton of time in optimizing.
It's a Capcom published game. I don't remember who the developer is.
Yeah.
But I
don't know.
The De Novo stuff, De Novo is kind of notorious for being a little performance intensive as well, which I get why they do De Novo, but I also... It feels like there's probably better options out there. I don't know. That game has sold a bazillion copies, so they'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm sure they're like, yeah, whatever. I mean, it would be nice if, you know, they didn't work on it.
They did roll out the ability to reset your saves, which was a real choice.
Finally.
Yeah.
it does always make you wonder, like, clearly, as we've talked about earlier, the PC has won. It is the premier gaming platform, yet it gets zero respect from developers vast majority of the time.
It depends on the developer. Okay, well,
also real quick, in this case, it's running like dog poo on the consoles too, so
yeah.
This isn't just a PC thing.
It's probably even worse on the PC. For number one is going to be, you need to fix this on PlayStation and Xbox, right?
I think,
and then we'll worry about the PC people, because used to being crapped on day.
I'm sure. It's a Japanese game, and traditionally Japanese developers have cared more about consoles than PCs. I think if you look at like Baldur's Gate, which was a Western developed game, it was a little bit different situation, right? Mm-hmm. It was bad. It ran badly on everything when it came out in early access. And then by the time it released for real, it was really nice.
True. Denever1G1 also gave us another super chat. Thank you so much. $5 this time. Said, just let me use my local account on all my PCs. Let me install Mac OS on my phone with an iOS toggle. Don't force these settings on anyone. I'd pay. So, yeah. No, I mean, you used to be able to have the option to have Windows 11 Pro and install a local account, right?
You can still do it if you unplug stuff at the right
time. Exactly, yeah. So now I've been installing PCs using the... Well, no, there's a command line. Once you hit the... Once you hit the thing, you...
OEM.
OOBE/... bypass NRO or something like that. I can't remember. I'm using it so much, I'm almost starting to learn the code. Yeah. So that's the way you can install Windows.
Not to circle back
with a local account.
Yeah. Chat's still talking about Dragon's Dogma.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to say, the other thing about Dragon's Dogma is it's a giant open world game. Dave Lang years ago was on the Giant Bombcast, was talking about the problems like testing and releasing these big open world games. Basically impossible to test. Like they're impossible to get full coverage on testing. So it's a hard game.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Anyway.
All right. A couple more questions and we get out of here. I think I hit all super chats. All right, cool. Anything from the actual chat, Willis?
Yeah, just all on Dogma.
Dogma. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Dragon's Dogma. All right. I'm going to go over to Discord. We got some questions over here. VC Jester has another brain bender. If companies have free reign to scrape all data on the internet to train their AI, shouldn't the internet have access to their source code? Fair is fair.
Wow. I just think anything they train on my data, I should get full access to. In general, I should be able to use it for free.
Right? Yeah.
Right?
What do you think, Gordon?
You're
training an AI still.
I'm a CEO. Working in my C-suite. I do think, though, it'll be interesting because one thing you never anticipate are the legal challenges. And as we know, the only thing that can escape a black hole are lawyers and laws, and they don't follow the laws of physics. So it'll be interesting as we settle the legal aspects of it, right? Because if you're training on my data, haven't you stolen my data? And now don't you owe me money?
You know their argument, right? They're saying it's the same as making a copy of the web to search the web. So they're saying Google did it, so it's okay for Google. Why is it not okay for us? But Google's really making derivative works.
I think the argument, though, is it's because Google does give you a snippet sometimes, but they do give you a way to get to the original source, which has been that uneasy, relationship between the actual people who create content, the people that serve you search. But if you're looking at me and you're creating a painting and that painting looks exactly like me, the courts have clearly found that you need to pay me money. That happened with, Ferry, the guy who did the Obama thing where Shepard Ferry, he based it on actually an AP photo. Well, his ass lost, so... I could see the legal challenges. And again, I guess my argument is like the laws of physics and the laws of computer science mean nothing to actual the law to the legal system. So I just imagine it's going to be a massive. I would probably rather deal with charging people $61 to do Windows 10 than to deal with the future of how they're going to do, you know, because somebody owns the stuff, right? And we have an ownership. People want money for everything. So it's going to be, things are just going to be tied up in the courts forever, it feels like.
It feels a lot like they're trying to crank out as much OpenAI, like OpenAI is trying to get as much of this stuff out where people are using it and used to it so that they can say, look, it's a public service we're providing. We're making, like, before the copyright lawsuits start.
That never stops lawyers. You know what? Oh. So yeah. There have been many lawsuits that people think are irresponsible and make zero sense. And by the way, they end up winning. Yeah. And then everybody goes, oh, no.
Too true.
So what happens then when the first time something goes like, oh, no, right? Oracle, Java, everything. I'm just like, oh, no. Yeah. You've broken the entire business model. They've assumed they could just basically use all your data for free, and the courts have decided, no, you got to pay them. So what's that world going to be like, right?
We got a couple more good questions, but I think some of these are going to go a little long, so I'm going to hold them for next week. Yeah, there's one in particular from you, VC Jester, that I know you're going to try to incite the Gordon to come out. I'll end with this one from VC Jester. If Nordic countries ever develop robots with AI, would they be called artificial Swedeners?
Oh, God. That hurt.
And check back next week for your fix of PC Talk here on The Full Nerd. For audio listeners, please subscribe to us over on Spotify. Well, actually, now you can't subscribe to us on Google Podcasts because Google Podcasts is officially kaput.
RIP.
Gone.
Dead.
Dead as a doornail. So you could subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, Pocket Casts, anywhere you can point your RSS feed to. Then you can subscribe to this awesome audio podcast as well. And if you are on one of the services, please leave us a review every time you knew a new console is born. Gordon, you need to come back to host this stuff. I don't have the good endings anymore. So
we broke Adam with that sweetener question.
I'm sorry.
I think he's still caught up on the artificial sweetener.
Sweeteners, yeah.
I was just thinking it's probably unfair to the other Nordic countries. Like, hey, we're Nordic too, and not everybody here is Sweden.
Yeah. So. Yeah, take that, VC Chester. I am your fill-in host, Adam Patrick Murray. I want to thank Gordon for coming on the line. Joining us every week. Good to have you back in the swing of things. Elena, thank you for being here to defend the consoles. I appreciate it.
I'm not even defending it. Just the argument has to be clear. Also, for all the people in the chat that were paying attention to me earlier, remember to read your manuals.
RTFM, for sure. Will, do you read the manuals?
I wish I had read the manual this morning when I couldn't figure out how to unplug my car.
Oh, yeah. That was a problem.
I had to call the dealer. It's embarrassing.
Whoops. Yeah, that sucks. Thank you for coming in. Willis, thank you for controlling the verticals and horizontals. Take us out of here.
All right. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. I think the console war or console versus PC is still an ongoing thing. So we'll keep that chat and continue in the Discord, maybe. Just don't blow up the Discord with that. But thank you, everyone, for tuning in on a Wednesday. It's quite a chatter when it's different on a Wednesday. Yeah.
After lunch, I'm sleepy.
I know, right? So,
Wait. Turn back to me. Oh. I want to show.
Wait, 1 second. Okay, go.
I still have the console.
So
I still have it in my pocket.
There you go.
Oh, you ripped off the stick.
Oh, crap, I did.
Oh, my God.
Did you really?
Did you? Whoa. Wait, show on the camera?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's a detachable thumbstick.
Everything's detachable if you try hard enough.
All right.
Thumbstick in your pocket?
That's it.
Wednesday afternoon.
Oh, no, they come off. They do come off.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah.
I just need to find it now.
that's Wednesday for us, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Bye.
It's not in my pocket.